This morning, our devotional study comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect accordingly to the knowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed he, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserveth in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness throughout manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Our lesson today is the mercy of God, and these scriptures that we are reading, the ones that Brother Hicks read and the ones that I'll be reading, are directed to saved individuals. We ought to keep that in mind as we study this lesson, because those of us that have been saved have experienced the mercy of God in a manner that that I can't really comprehend. the way that he has looked down upon me and blessed me and taken care of me, and the state that I was in before I was saved, and the position that he's put me in right now is indeed mercy and grace beyond understanding for me. I'm going to read our lesson text here, and I'll try to bring out a few things, but I wanted to get that out, that, you know, we have experienced mercy in a very great degree from God, those of us that have been saved. And also the lost are experiencing mercy every day in that they are given a chance to turn to God. They have another day to live. So our reading lesson will take up where Jimmy left off, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye are purified your souls in seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, Peter tells us here in the 13th verse to gird up the loins of your mind, to be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to put our minds in order. We need to gain control of our minds, because speaking just for myself, that's one of the hardest things there is for me to do, is to stop my mind at times from going where I know it doesn't need to go, and to direct my thoughts to study the Bible, to pray, to meditate upon God, to get up in the morning and think upon the things of God. But that's what I know that I need to do, and I know that God knows what I'm thinking. He knows when I pray to him, truly pray to him, but not just in my mind utter vain words that don't go anywhere. But that's how we ought to start our day off, with our minds girded up about the things of God. In the humble prayer, turn to him. It's so easy for me to get cluttered up with things. And I'm not just talking about really things that you'd consider evil, but to just think about my work or my house or my car, whatever it is that I want to do for the day. Those things get in the way of me and God a lot. And it ought not to be that way, because he tells us here, you know, in the 24th verse here, that this life is temporary. This all these things are going away. At best, you know, for me it may be another 40, 50 years, probably not, but maybe. And it's all going to be over with. But the things of God are eternal. They will be. My rewards in heaven are eternal. They'll last forever. And that's where my thoughts and my heart need to be. He goes on here to say in the 14th verse, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Again, to live our lives in a Christ-like manner, to study the Bible, to understand the things that Jesus did, how that he behaved himself, how that he conducted himself, and try as best as we can to live our lives in that manner, loving one another, forgiving one another, spreading the gospel, having a burden for the lost, having a burden for the sick. We speak about these things and we talk about them, and when we come to church, you know, we request prayer, and I try to pray when y'all request prayer. I try to keep that on my mind throughout the week. But again, you know, those other things creep in, and I forget sometimes, and it doesn't weigh upon me the way that I think that it ought to, because I do feel like we need to pray for one another. We need to be burdened for the ones that are sick, for the ones that can't be here. That ought to bother us. And in times past, before I was saved, things like that didn't really come into my mind. I was a very, I guess, selfish person. May have not acted selfish all the time, but my mind was primarily concerned with myself. And I remember when I was saved, concern for other people was a surprise to me. I felt it in my heart, and it was just new to me. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way we as God's people need to be. Now, the title of our lesson is The Mercy of God, and I'm going in a different direction, but I'm going in the direction that it came to me as I tried to study. So, you know, I stated at the start of this that we that are saved have experienced mercy and grace from God that we can't ever begin to repay or even understand in my case. So, but he's telling us here to put aside the former things, the things that are carnal, the things that we experienced before we were saved, when we were going about just as mortal men, carnal men, to put those things aside because we didn't know. And that's very clear to me. After I was saved, it was very clear to me that I didn't know the love of my fellow man, the concern, the burden. I didn't understand that until after I was saved. I was ignorant. And he's saying here, put those things aside. Don't go back to those things. Don't be that way again. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to live our lives as best we can in a godly fashion, in a manner that's Christ set forth an example for us. Now, we're imperfect. I'm not saying that you're going to live perfect, and I certainly haven't lived perfect, and I know that I won't in the future as well, but we can live above reproach. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. We can avoid some things that we know is wrong. We can do the best we can, and that's what we need to do. We need to, as much as possible, focus on God, to be concerned about godly things, to be a righteous people, because we can do that. We can be a true servants of God. People have done it in the past. We know about the old preachers that stood for God until the day they died, and we read about the prophets, the old prophets, how that they served God and the trials and tribulations that the people went through. We can read in Fox's Book of Martyr how people were put to death. That would be a really hard thing to do, and I don't think that I could do it. I know that I could not do that without God's help, but with God's help, He helped those men to do those things. They couldn't do it without God either. We can have that same spirit upon us, leading us and guiding us, if we will turn to God, if we will do these things to turn aside from our former ignorance, to just do the best we can to study the Bible, to pray, and to be willing to carry a burden, to ask God to give us a burden. He goes on to say, And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That is, our life here, we need to be aware that... let me go on and read in the 18th verse. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was the shed blood of Christ that put us where we are today as far as the salvation of our soul. And that is we need to keep that in mind. We need to spend our lives here upon earth as we go through our time upon earth, remembering that on a day-to-day basis, what has been given to us, what's been done for us. The Bible teaches us that our thoughts and our actions are going to come into judgment. That ought to bring some fear to our hearts, because my thoughts and my actions haven't always been what they ought to be. They haven't always been pleasing unto God. And I need to be afraid of the consequences of those thoughts and those actions, and strive as best I can to not go there again. I'm going through my lesson really fast here. We're going to be done a lot earlier than I had intended, but carrying on. I know this gets said every time, just about, that someone stands up to preach or to teach, but I don't think it can be said too many times. And he's saying here, he's talking about Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. That is how that men are saved, and that is what we as God's people need to be taken out to the world, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because there are so many people who are trying to live good enough. Just about anybody that you talk to will make some kind of statement about how they hope they've lived good enough, or how they're going to go out and serve the homeless a meal or whatever. And those are good things, and we probably ought to do more of that ourselves. But to do that expecting to be rewarded with salvation is to be expecting to work your way into heaven. And Peter's saying here that it was that Christ was a lamb without blemish and without spot. That is what was satisfactory to God. A perfect offering that had never sinned. Not a sinful offering such as myself that's just doing the best I can. I want to drop down now into the 23rd verse, and this is going to be all that I have. It says here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our life here and our things that we have upon this earth are temporary. It says here, it's grass. The thought that came to my mind was a vapor. I think that's in Job, how he describes life as being a vapor. You know, a vapor is just something that you see steam rise up and it's gone. You know, it lasts for maybe a few seconds and it's gone. That's what our life is here upon the earth. And yet, so many of us, myself included, spend my life on this earth behaving as if it's permanent, behaving as if it's the only thing, that whatever work I'm going to do, wherever I'm going to live, that's it. My house is, you know, my house is going to be my house until the day I die. But that may not be very far off. In the grand scheme of things, in the span of time, it's not very far off. No matter how long that we may live, it's only a vapor. It's only a temporary thing. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The salvation of my soul endureth forever. And that was, again, the mercy of God allowed me to be saved. And that's that salvation that came from the shed blood of Jesus Christ is what's going to get me into heaven. And that's going to endure forever. My soul is going to live on forever, for all eternity. If I could just remember that, if I could just keep that in the forefront of my mind, rather than allowing these things of the world to creep in and to separate me from God. That's just about everything that I have. I know the title was The Mercy of God, but that's not what I got as I tried to study it. What I got, and the mercy of God is a great lesson. It needs to be taught and it needs to be thought about, because the mercy of God is greater than any. It's greater than I can even begin to comprehend, how that He was willing to send His Son down to die for me. And I've stated this in the past. You know, if I'd not been the only one that was lost, the only one that needed salvation, I believe that the Lord would have come down and endured what He endured upon the cross and carried that burden for me. That's how much mercy He had for me personally. And that's beyond my comprehension. It really is. I'll read our lesson key here and then I'll be done. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Would there be any questions, any comments today?
Christ
lived without
sin.
Not just thinking about some people, they think they live without sin. You just think about sin, people think something bad. That's a sin. Exactly. It is.
Unreal about
people
live without sin.
Mm-hmm. And it's always puzzled me as to how people apparently think they can live without sin to get themselves into heaven, and where Jesus fits in their scheme of thinking. You know, what was the purpose? If they can live without sin, what was the purpose in the Lord coming and dying upon the cross? I don't know. If there's nothing else, we can be dismissed. Let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers. Remember the prayer request that was made this morning. If there's nothing else, I'll ask Brother Sonny if he will dismiss us. Thank you.